Welcome back to the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I'm Michael Halpern, here with Gray Albright. And I don't know if you heard, but the robots are officially invading fantasy baseball. We're having Matt Truss on a little later. He writes the RCL, Razzball Commenter League update. It's it's that huge league that Gray's put together, and Rudy and everybody else behind the scenes who are, for the commenters, there's hundreds of people in the league. It's awesome. But supposedly there's bots created by some evil mastermind that's in first. It's in second. They're taking over.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a driverless Uber leading the RCLs right now.
No joke, though. No joke.
No, robots have taken over. It's crazy. We have I think 900 teams all competing, or maybe we got 1,000. I don't know. We have like between 900 and 1,000. We'll round up.
Yeah,
that's like when I take off my pants, I'm like I'm rounding up to a foot.
You're in Hollywood. We can round up.
Yeah, I'm rounding up 12 inches. we got a giant league of like 900, 1,000 people playing against each other all in separate 12-team leagues. So it's basically like we got, this is, a lot of people who are listening probably already know this, but I'm telling it to the people who maybe are listening that don't know. So we have like we have all these different 12-team leagues that we then have one master champion. We award one master champion out to the top team from all these separate leagues. So that's our Razzball Commenter Leagues. We call them the RCLs. So right now we have a robot out of like 1,000 teams, a robot is leading the entire thing. It's like, it's basically, I think, someone has taken all of Rudy's tools and just like maximize them by having a robot play them. I'm not even sure. I don't know. Yeah.
That's why we're bringing Truss in. That's why we're bringing Truss in.
It's like crazy. It's like the robots have taken over.
Yeah, it's like the robot beating Ken Jennings in Jeopardy. This is cutting edge, I think. This is.
Would you like to pick up Ahmad Rosario? Do you want Ramil Tapia? I used to work at Carl's Jr.
I didn't realize it was a voice command robot. Does ESPN take voice command pickups? Because I've been doing it wrong.
You may want to trade Mark Trumbo.
You know what? Based on how shitty voice command technology is, I'm less concerned now than I was previously.
I'm only told a robot's like, you need to eat my robot dick.
Yeah, well, we don't know where these robots are going to go. They might start just raping people, as Greg said.
Yeah, the robot rapes you. What are you going to do?
Good old robot rape jokes starting off the show.
Oh, man, it's good old fashioned robot rape.
All right, so we're excited to get Truss in, but let's start off with the news of the week. Basically, Alex Wood pitching like an ace. His velocity is up on all of his pitches. His strikeouts are up. Whiff rates are up. Everything's up. And look, there's no reason the Dodgers should take him out of the rotation. As long as he stays healthy, I'm kind of buying in. He's always had the talent.
I am crazy for Alex Wood.
Hey, Gray, if you get taken over by a robot, I don't know what we're gonna do.
I need some hyperbole to explain my love for Alex Wood.
I'm starting to think that got to our leader. What? Oh, crab! Where's the crab army when we need them? Ralph, we gotta round them up.
The crab army. Haven't they done enough? Alex Wood's peripherals look insane right now. He's at a 12 plus K rate, a under 3 walk rate, a 2.13 xFIP. Basically, that's an A starter. I would say that's probably, if not as good as Chris Sale, it's basically a top 5 starter. The peripherals I just said. I'm not saying Alex Wood necessarily is going to be that good, but his peripherals are saying he's that good. I would probably put him in the top 40, 30, maybe 35 starters as of right now. I think, the Dodgers have said that they're not going to take him out of the rotation, even with Rich Hill and Brandon McCarthy coming back. And we know that Hill and McCarthy probably aren't going to last all that long healthy anyway. So I don't see any reason to doubt Alex Wood for his stuff. I think the biggest problem is how long can he pitch for this season, because of the last year he was either on the DL or in the bullpen, or he bounced around between the rotation and the bullpen. He wasn't really, he only had 60 innings last year. So it's, I don't know. It might be hard for him to throw, more than say, 130 innings this year, which is still, if he's doing a 12 K rate, I still want him on my team everywhere, but yeah, I would be hesitant about saying he's going to pitch more than 150 innings this year, but I do love him. I would own him everywhere.
Yeah, the Dodgers have been limiting guys in starts all year, all their starters with injury problems, and he's another one of those injury problems. So he's probably going to have a lot of 5-6 inning starts unless he literally keeps getting everyone out. Then of course we'll get over 6. But in a quality start league, I imagine some 5 inning outings are going to be in the mix.
Right. Yeah, and he was someone, as you briefly mentioned, I liked him back when he was on the Braves. He was good. I mean, it's not like this is totally out of left field.
Exactly.
It's like this is someone who has been good in the past. So the fact that he's good again is only, he's only 26 years old. So it's not really that surprising that he's suddenly like coming on, like unlike, Charlie Morton, who I've been probably more down on than most people would have liked, I think, on the site. I don't know. I've been getting a lot of guff. Guff.
Yeah, I see that. They don't like that. You don't like Morton.
I pulled that word out of the 1950s.
1930s.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God. Hey, all those youngins giving me the guff.
Hey, yeah. I was trying to do my 1920s voice.
Yeah, see?
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, you don't like Charlie Morton, see? I'm going to give you the guff, see?
Morton still doesn't have the great DRA.
I gotta go get my polio shot, say.
Hey.
Hey.
So would you rather have Wood or Severino?
That's tough. I'd probably go Severino, but it's a tough one. I think they're really close. I think they're probably headed in more or less the same area. I like the Dodgers, I like Dodger Stadium much better than Yankee Stadium for a pitcher. I think the NL West is obviously, and it's not that I think it, I mean, it is obviously better. But Severino, I feel like, is just a tad bit safer, maybe. It's close, man. I don't know. Who would you go, Wood or Severino?
I'm going Wood. I'm still afraid that Severino is just going to have those starts where the changeup's not working and guys are going to hit him. Maybe I'm too close as a Yankees fan. Maybe I've seen too much, which kind of brings it into Berrios, who sucked last year, and this last start, 7.2 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. The one interesting thing I saw, there were some allegations that he was using a foreign substance on the ball. He denied it, but Either way, the two-seamer was nasty. He throws all of his pitches, same release point. Are you, like, fully buying in, or are you still worried about that?
Like one of those mechanical robot arms he was using last year.
or those arms that
fastball for you.
it's those games with the picture of Randy Johnson throwing, and then the ball comes out of that little hole, you know, on the big screen.
Hey, wait a second! Does that robot have pine tar on its silver hand? Have pine tar.
I feel like we should make this a 1950s robot.
Yeah, see? Beep, 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 beep,
beep. Beep, boop, beep. Hey there, see?
Oh, man. Berrios. Yeah, well, I think, you know, I don't really buy him right now the way I think people have really bought in, like, you know, fully on him. I'm like, I don't know. I don't see anything different than last year. Like last year he had great, I mean, coming into last year, first of all, back in, you know, 2015, he was solid in AAA. I mean, he was great. It looked like I liked him going into last year because it looked like he could break out. He had some, you know, he had great peripherals in the minor leagues. Berrios had a 9.9 K rate, a under 2.5 walk rate, a 2.6 ERA in AAA in 2015. And then last year, I mean, it just the wheels just completely fell off. It was like, it couldn't have gotten much worse. He had an over 8 ERA with the Twins. And then he went to AAA and he looked great again. So he's always, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying he's a quad A player at this point because he's way too young to write him off. I mean, he's only 22 years old. And the, his first game back, he was, would he strike out four guys? He struck out four guys. He didn't walk anyone. So that's a good sign, but
he had some balls hit very hard against him actually too. I'm kind of skeptical with you.
It's just like, it's not like in a lot of leagues, it's just not worth the hassle. Like you look at a guy like, you know, like a Nate Karns or an Alex Wood or even Charlie Morton, who, you know,
Charlie Murphy,
who I was getting the guff about. Hey, Daddy-O, what's with this guff? There's a lot of guys I would go with over Berrios. I think Berrios is like a streamer in 12-team leagues. In deeper leagues, you have to own. I mean, there's certain leagues where you own everyone, but maybe a 15-team, like in my friends and family, my Yahoo league, where I'm against Funston and those guys, I looked at waivers to pick up Berrios there and that's a 15-team mixed league. But in my RCL league, in my 12-team mixed league, I did not. I didn't look for Berrios. I could care less. I'm under the impression that he's like, you know, I mean, he might have some good starts, but he's probably gonna have some bad ones too. And you know, I don't know. I like him in like for dynasty or keeper leagues for sure. I mean, he's so young and he's obviously shown a lot of promise in the minor league. So, I mean, I can understand some of the hype, but in shallower mixed leagues and redraft leagues, I'm not really that excited about him.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you because also he features the heavy sinking fastball. So I think and he was never known to be like a monster strikeout guy. So even the Ks, I don't think, even if he is good, I don't think the Ks are going to be extreme. I think he's kind of a fly ball pitcher though, even though he has a sinking fastball. I don't know, he's weird. I'm waiting. I'm in wait and see mode too. I'm not jumping on the bandwagon yet either.
Yeah, and you could probably illuminate this subject a little bit better than I can, but like his fastball, it was clocked at 94 in his first game this year, which is fine. I mean, that's solid and all, but I mean, doesn't that play a lot better for Ks in the minor leagues than it's going to in the major leagues?
For sure. And I mean, and he wasn't even 94 always. This was his bump. Like he just bumped up a couple years ago. He was sitting low 90s a couple years ago. So this was kind of his bump. He lost his control a little bit. He used to be better at the control. I don't know. I'm with you. I'm not jumping on the start yet, but I mean, everyone seems to be getting excited. I think we're going to be in the minority.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, it's about time two white guys were in a minority.
Oh, that's happening soon. All white guys are going to be in the minority soon enough. Demo
is shifting. We're going to be in a minority with robots.
Oh, yeah, that too.
When do we get on the census?
We better band together for robots outnumber us.
My robot rights. I want to be on the census.
Oh, I never thought robots taking over would come to rap fantasy baseball. It's insane. It really is. Where's Truss at? Where is it? Is he still in traffic? All right. Let's move on to my Yankees. You know, I got to talk to some Yankees. Two things. Aroldis Chapman on the DL with a shoulder sprain. You know, Cubs used him hard last year. He kind of complained about it in the World Series, even though they won. This year, 3.55 ERA, 1.42 whip. He mentioned the shoulder discomfort felt similar to 2011. He missed 6 weeks in 2011. He says he's been feeling it for a couple weeks now. Do you think Betances is getting more saves than him? Are you worried, or do you think he's going to come back in a month and still be throwing 102-mile-per-hour bullets?
Yeah, I'm not that concerned. I mean, I'm not as, you know, I don't have my head that far into the Yankees situation and all the news that's coming out. I mean, you might know more than me on the whole Aroldis situation. I'm personally taking it at face value and saying that he's going to be gone until mid-June, and then he'll come back and he'll get a couple saves, he'll hit the All-Star break, he'll rest a couple more days, and he'll be fine for the final 2 months. I think Betances is, you know, he's not only ownable, I mean, he's a top 100 overall guy in every league, even if he's not getting saved.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm all about owning Betances for sure, and Aroldis, you know, I mean, it's the credo, it's, you know, it's Sagnoff, it's kind of like, you know, I like Aroldis, I think he's better than most closers, but I wouldn't have bought a closer high in fantasy anyway. I mean, I haven't bought a top like three closer in probably 10 years. I mean, there's just no reason. It doesn't make any sense for fantasy. But yeah, I mean, if you're hearing that, you know, any shoulder issues that's something to be worried about. But if you're listening to this and you have Aroldis, I don't know what the hell. I don't know what you were doing in March when I was telling people not to buy a top closer. I don't know.
Hey, fair enough. We got nothing for you, Chapman owners. You hear that?
Yeah, exactly.
Go find another show.
Yeah. Go fucking download the ESPN forecaster, you bastards. Suddenly you come to us? Screw you, man.
Go tweet Matt Berry.
Yeah, go tweet Matt Berry, exactly.
All right,
and his 5 million fake followers. There's that thing. There's the Twitter tool that you can like see how many fake followers people have.
Really?
Matthew Berry has like 75% fake followers. So that means he goes and he buys his followers. What a loser.
That could be ESPN. That could be ESPN, though.
Yeah, it might be. But you know he went up to – you know he put himself on somebody's schedule, and he was like, hey, do you have time for like a 5-minute meeting? I want to talk to you about Twitter and followers. You know they didn't just go out and buy the followers. You know he said something to someone.
I think you're right. We're on you, Barry. We're on your every move, Barry.
What a fucking tool. I know. What's even worse is there's like maybe 3 people total in the entire world who I checked to see how many followers are fake, and Matthew Barry was one of them. I think that might make me even sadder. All right. Anyway, moving on.
moving on to Tanaka, who I'm curious. So we're talking about Berrios and Wood before. You know, Tanaka's been getting killed all year. His last start, 8 earned runs and 1.2 innings pitched. The command way off. Guys are laying off the splitter because he's just not throwing the other pitches in the right location. His whole game was just the artist command. He was one of the best command pitchers before this year. Are you like, I've heard he's been dropped in some leagues. Are you taking Wood over him? I know you don't love Berrios, but I mean, where are you putting with Tanaka? What are you doing with him right now?
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough one with Wood. I would say, you know, I like Wood a bit more than Tanaka right now. I think I always had problems with Tanaka because of ever since, you know, the elbow tendon issue that he had like 3 years ago, whatever. I mean, obviously he pitched through it and it seemed like he was fine, but at some point, I don't know, it seems like maybe it's caught up to him now. I would be concerned about his health. He doesn't look right. His walks are so far up from any other previous year. And that's, like you said, I mean, that's always been his thing, has been his command. So you take a 7+ K rate guy and you throw an extra walk per nine on him, and suddenly he's not a 3.5 ERA guy, he's a 4+ ERA guy. And that's just like, that's no longer 12 team, you know, that's no longer worth it in a 12 team league for most matchups.
Yeah, he also, this is his, he has an option in his contract this year. So I don't know if that's going to play into him maybe not wanting to get Tommy John. You know, maybe he'll opt back in, as a Yankees fan, maybe he'll opt back into the contract. I don't know. You think that would make him not want to go down with an injury or heal up? I'm not sure what the thinking would be there.
I don't know. I mean, I would say, like, I didn't understand why he opted against the surgery. Like, with the whole, like, Garrett Richards was another guy who opted against surgery. I mean, I'm under the, you know, I go with the assumption of, like, if you need surgery, you get to surgery and you come back at 100% in a year or two or whatever, you know, however long it takes.
Like Darvish did.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, so, you know, like 75% of the major leagues. Yeah,
sure. I can relate though to the not wanting to get surgery. I haven't had great experience with doctors. I can relate to saying, you know what, let me heal it up. You know, Tanaka, maybe you got some Eastern medicine, some yogi stuff. Maybe he had another strategy. It doesn't seem to be working right now, but I kind of feel don't just go under the knife immediately, but looking at the results now, it's probably the smarter move. I think Irvin Santana had this a while ago, though, too, and he's still going. So I don't know. Maybe it's not like 100% in either case.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm not 100 on either side. I have no
not
idea.
A doctor. Dr. Gray.
Dr. Gray, exactly. Yeah. I know that probably the spring Windex on it probably is not going to work. I know that much. And then after that, I'd say that for Tanaka, you know, if we could just go on what he's actually doing, it's not good. So you know, like I look at someone like, let's see, how about like a Matt Shoemaker? Like he's got, you know, good matchup. He had a good matchup last time out. He's got a good matchup coming up against the White Sox. Shoemaker, I picked up off of waivers in my RCL. He's at 50% owned. Tanaka is probably owned and is probably not going to have as good a start as like a Shoemaker. So, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, it depends on what guys are available. It's hard to say. You know, like, actually, Tanaka's owned in 97% of leagues. So he's definitely owned. He's owned everywhere. So I would imagine if he has one more bad start, that number's going to go down dramatically. But as of right now, is he really much better than a Shoemaker in a good matchup? Or a, you know, like a JC Ramirez or even going back to, you know, Charlie Morton or Jose Berrios, you know, like if the matchups are right, you could probably find guys better than Tanaka in a lot of these 12 team and shallower leagues. And that's what the robots are doing.
We would not own
Tanaka.
Just about to ask what the robots would say, because you're not in first. I want to know the robot.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is uprooting the whole show, isn't this?
I mean, we're the robot talking points.
All right, we
do not like Tanaka. Oh, sorry, SeatGeek, go for it.
SeatGeek. Well, we can get the robot to read SeatGeek too. That's about me.
If you need a seat,
robot will do one SeatGeek read. We'll have 17 listeners typing in Raz MLB. All right. SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game all season long. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Be there in person for the best plays of the year, and let SeatGeek get you closer to the action for a great value. I have SeatGeek app on my phone right now. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and just with a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually use SeatGeek to buy tickets to the Derek Jeter retirement number game. You know, I saw him give his
speech.
No, I didn't. I mean, yeah, I went. Oh. Yes, I went. Yeah. I used the SeatGeek app. It was so simple. They found great tickets, even though it was a hard seat to get. I listened to the speech of him saying, you know, humbly saying, yeah, he wouldn't change lives with anyone because he's the fucking man. Completely humbly, though. So all about the app, though, how easy it is. And yeah, so SeatGeek's designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek rates every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats to fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And it doesn't stop with sports. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available, too. Best of all, you guys already know you get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter promo code RAZMLB. That's RAZZMLB. That's promo code RAZMLB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And you could actually go to the Jeter game and you would have gotten $20. So why not?
That's like the didn't Jeter used to put $20 in the gift basket he would hand out to the girls after he hooked up with them?
Here's
a Rolex and $20.
I'm pretty sure his new gift baskets do include a $20 off SeatGeek purchase, I think. I think that's the clincher, that they're like, I was going to talk shit, but now that I got that $20 off SeatGeek, no more.
Here's $20 off SeatGeek, and you can go to the David Ortiz retirement ceremony, and we'll put everyone together, and we can all talk about how Jeter's retirement ceremony was better.
Done. Let's set it up. Let's set it up. That's our first Razzball meetup.
Oh, yeah, get him.
All right, still waiting on Truss, still waiting on the call. The boss might be working him. We're moving on to some buy lows.
What if Truss has been kidnapped by the robots? Should we be concerned at all?
Did a driverless Uber car kidnap him somehow? Because they connect. The robots start connecting and interfacing. Yeah. We know how this works.
You need to eat my dick. Wait, hold on a second. What did my driverless Uber driver just say? Suck my metal shaft.
Yeah. All right, buy lows. Other than the robots, buy the robots are way too high. Everyone's buying the robots.
Why are we stopped at this junkyard? Wait, where are you taking me, driverless Uber?
Trust doesn't show up for this episode. I don't know. We might be kidnapped.
Oh man, where are we at now?
We're at Rojned Odor. I want to know your number. Your big call in the beginning of the year.
Oh man, the robots are laughing at me on this one. Now, all right, okay. So Odor, yeah. Now it's about time that we.
Yeah, you got it. I'm curious. I'm curious. Straight up, I want to know: are you buying low? Are you still in? Or are you moving on? And Greg, I hope you know that none of your reader. I mean, obviously, we all read you for your fantasy advice, and your fantasy advice is sick. But, I mean, your humor is what makes that. So it's fine. It's funny when, you know, you get wrong. People like that. It's endearing. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you. I would buy low. I don't think – no, everything isn't completely right. I mean, there's some issues. I'm not going to, you know, write it off as just an early season slump. There's a few things I'm concerned about. His line drives are real far down, and his infield pops are up. So that means – he's getting terrible. He's making a terrible contact. I mean, anyone who's watched him for any part of the last 6 weeks knows he hasn't had great contact since I think opening day. I would say I would buy him low, though, with the in the right price, because his Ks are down. His walks are up a little bit. He still has six homers and four steals. And I don't think, you know, like if he gets to, I still fully think he's going to get to a 260 average and 20 plus homers and 12 plus steals. I still think he's going to get there. And, you know, it may be a little wonky in how he gets there, but I'm still totally in on Odor. And, you know, just like as a vote of confidence for him, I have him on in every league. And as of right now, I'm in first in a lot. I mean, I'm not in like a robot first. Don't get me wrong. There's no robot first going on here, but I am in first in three
non-robot leagues.
Yeah, and I'm in first in three non-robot leagues. I'm in the top three in other non-robot leagues, and I have Odor everywhere. So, I mean, you know, it hasn't been great, but if you're managing your team correctly, you know, a guy with six homers and four steals and decent runs in RBIs, just because he's hitting 197, I mean, it's not good. Granted, I prefer he were hitting 260 or 270, but he's not killing teams as of right now. So I'm buying low for sure.
All right. So if you're like in ninth, 10th place, you need offense. He's someone you're targeting the trade.
Totally. I would buy low on Odor, and I would, you know, I mean, it's like anything in any situation. It depends on what the price is.
Of course.
I would, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily give, I wouldn't give, you know, Trey Turner for Odor, even though Trey Turner's had his own struggles. Let's be honest. Trey Turner hasn't looked as good as he did last year. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't buy Odor for a top 20 hitter right now. Because you don't need to. You can buy him a lot cheaper than that. But yeah, I would look to see if I can get him. Sure.
All right, we got Truss on the line. We got Truss coming in.
Oh, so Sookie.
We're gonna bring him in. Let's give us 1 second. We'll be back in a hot minute, guys. All right. The robots did not capture Truss like we were concerned about earlier in the podcast. We're here with Matt Truss, writer for Razzball. He's doing the Razzball, the RCL updates, like I was mentioning before. He also manages some DFS stuff for the site. So we're happy to bring you in, but really, really we want to talk about what the hell is going on with the robot invasion of the RCLs. That's what we want to know about.
Yeah, the machines are taking over, man. It's kind of ridiculous.
Would you pick up Ahmed Rosario?
Yeah, so we want to know, is this like, who is this using Rudy's tools? Who's responsible? Did they draft the team or no?
All right, so this is what I've gathered. This is my intel. So I don't know if this guy wants me saying his name, but I'm going to anyway. So he's got four.
Yeah. His name is Mark Zuckerberg. That bastard.
He's taken over the world. $200 Best Buy gift certificates at a time.
is that what the winner gets of these?
I think so.
Okay, so go ahead, Truss.
He did draft a team. He drafted these four teams.
Okay.
And then he basically just sets up like a list of guys that he doesn't ever want to drop. So he's got, you know, his 10 core guys that he never drops. And everybody else on – oh, and he also drafts oodles of closers. So this guy has an entire pitching staff of nothing but closers. Every other roster spot is completely rotated every single day based on the Hittertron and the Streaminator. So he's just picking up the best dollar values for hitters and streaming one or two starters a day, basically.
So, now is he taking advantage of a league that isn't as active, or is he just getting guys that would be available in most leagues?
Well, I'll let you be the judge of that. He's picked a T-hole league, a J league, and maybe another J league.
Yeah, but there, I mean, the people who are leading the leagues aren't. That doesn't necessarily mean anything if you have 11 other owners that are doing well.
Well, that's true. So, I mean, looking at their league indexes so far, they're in the 101, 102 range, which right now the highest is a 105. So,
okay. So they're not bad leagues necessarily. No.
They're definitely not below average. I have a feeling his teams are probably boosting up that index quite a bit.
Right. But he's still, I mean, he's not competing against 11 ghost teams. I mean, no. It's not the robots versus the ghosts.
No, definitely not. Actually,
which sounds like a Scott Pilgrim movie or something.
So is this the evolution of the RCLs? Like, I know closers are already valued higher and starting pitchers are valued lower. So is this saying, like, maybe this is how it should be done? Only closers? Is that what's going to happen?
He's basically doing what, you know, the top RCL guys are doing every week. He's just doing it on an automated scale and a bigger scale, definitely. I mean, I keep two or three starting pitchers and do the same thing, basically. You know, I rotate the last two or three bench spots on my team, but not.
I think that's what most do. But you're saying he's got no starter. He doesn't have a single starter.
No starters. I mean, I'm looking at a team of his right now. He's got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's got 11 closers. I mean, more than he can ever play in a given day, even.
Wow. So when did he start drafting closers? Like, who's his top closers? Does he have the best closers?
Oh, yeah, he's got Kenley, Aroldis, Ken Giles, Cody Allen. I mean, he's right down the list.
It's not a bad move, actually, because I feel like RCLs are really predicated on K per nine. If you get a good K per nine guy, he is so much more valuable. Like, say, we were talking about Betances earlier. Like, a guy like him is so much more valuable in an RCL league than even – and he is valuable in regular leagues, but in an RCL league, he's, like, top – 50 value overall because of his K per nine. Anyone who's doing a over 10 K per nine is super valuable in an RCL league.
Absolutely, yeah. No, guys like Andrew Miller and Betances, I mean, those guys, they go before some of the crappier closers usually go in the competitive leagues.
Yeah, so I was saying to someone, it might have been Ralph or something, but I was saying, like, you know, in like RCL, you need to maximize at bats and you need to maximize your middle relievers. And that's like, those are the biggest, like, if you're not taking anything else away, like, those I think are the biggest takeaways, that you need to have full lineups and guys getting good at bats as much as you can. And also middle relievers that are coming in and getting Ks. Like, you know, a Darren O'Day, for instance, may not, you know, he's not having the greatest year, but let's just say him. If you have him going and getting 3 Ks for you on a random Tuesday when you don't have anyone else going, that over the course of a season, that adds up. And you have like an extra 200 innings, 200 Ks that you wouldn't have had without rotating those middle relievers. Like, I make a lot of moves in our RCL, but 95% of my moves are middle reliever moves and making sure I have a hitter when a guy has an off day. Like, I always pick up short schedule days, even if they're not good days. Like today on a Monday, I have Trevor Plouffe going. I mean, who knows what he's going to do, but
now give me all the Ezekiel Carrera today.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's all about, you know, it's, you know, and I have like Hunter Renfroe and Ryan Schimpf and CJ Krohn. Like, I have a full lineup on a Monday when there's only, I think there's like 8 games today. There's like no one's playing today, but I have a full lineup. Whereas I think a lot of people probably are like, oh, you know, I don't want to, I don't want to drop, say, I don't know, Alex Wilson, who I dropped today. Like, you know, like a guy like Alex Wilson's great. I like him. I would own him, but on a short schedule day, those are the kind of guys you got to drop. You know, I'm sure the robots would agree. Don't you agree?
No, the robots have a full lineup today too. Don't worry.
Yeah. And
so you're talking about the number of moves you make in their RCL. What are you at, like $120?
Yeah, something like that. I think. Yeah. Honestly, I think I made like 8 to 10 moves today, and they were all like dropping crappy middle relievers and picking up crappy hitters. Then I will then make those same 8 moves tomorrow and drop, like, I'm dropping Plouffe, I'm dropping you know, Hunter Renfro. I'm dropping Ryan Schimpf tomorrow before games, and I'm going to pick up middle relievers.
Yep.
Like, those are all my moves. I'm not dropping guys like, you know, Rendon or Jose Abreu or Conforto or, you know, like, a lot of guys on my team have been on my team all year, but there's other guys, like, you know, that you have to rotate guys. You need to maximize, I think, you know, just to be competitive in a lot of these leagues.
So how many moves have the bots made?
So the most active robot is at 903.
Does the robots have a name, or is most – what is it a team name?
Yeah, no. So the team names are all pretty funny. They're all Rudy is Booty. Is the that's the one, that's a carryover from last year, because he did this with one team last year. This year he expanded to four. So we've got Gray is Bay, Gray is Faye, Rudy is Snooty, and Rudy is Booty.
Wait, so are these human generated names or bot generated names?
fantasy team generated. They're funny to robots.
Yes.
Ray is Bay. Ray is Bay. It shows you, I mean, if people use the Streamator and Hittertron, you know, if they use our tools correctly, they can be really powerful in just about league.
Rudy kills it. Those tools are the shit. I mean, his DFS tools, the Hittertron, I mean, if people aren't using them, they're doing themselves a big disservice.
Yeah, no, completely. And even if you're, like, a lot of times, like, people will say to me, like, oh, I want your opinion versus, you know, what the tools are saying. Like, okay, I'll give you my opinion, but I personally would look at the tools. Like, I wouldn't take my own opinion. I would look at the tools over my opinion.
Go look at the tools, yes.
Yeah, I know. But then people are like, no, but I really just want to hear what you would do. And I'm like, okay, I would do this. And if that's going against the tools, then I would look at the tools and say, I'm not doing that. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, people want to make it harder for themselves. I'm not exactly sure why.
I think that's human instinct, yeah, which is why the robots are doing so much better than us.
No emotion.
Right? You will eat robot dick.
So is it hopeless? Is it hopeless for us humans? I know Kramit, you mentioned in your write-up, Kramit has the best shot. Do you think a human's going to win, or the odds on a robot coming in like first and second, is it overwhelming?
You know, I mean, the RCLs are a war of attrition, if nothing else. And doing this automated, boy, I don't know. I'm really curious how it's going to work out. But I think it is a big advantage, definitely.
Well, you're my odds maker. So what are the odds of robot? I want to know, what are the odds of robot wins this whole thing? Over 50%?
I would ask a robot personally.
better algorithm. I don't trust the robot's answer. They're sneaky. I mean, those robots.
He's got four teams in the top 13 right now. I'd say he's got probably 25% odds of taking this thing down.
Okay. Are they so the robots could theoretically do the DFS tools as well? I mean, for a DFS site, I think that's already happening. Algorithms are running the DFS sites, right?
That's pretty much right. That's why fantasy drafts is so nice. You know, the smaller site where that's not happening yet.
Yeah. Well, we might as well go into the fantasy draft promo while I have you here. I know you joined. I know you joined the league. I know you joined the commenter league. So let's start with that. So obviously every Tuesday night we got this Razzball only fantasy draft contest. The link will be in the post. Last week we got the most people ever. We were in double digits.
Yeah.
So we're on the upswing. That's cool. Join it. The winner, like I said, I'll mention the winner. The winner was the Rizzo. So congratulations to him. He took home the grand prize. I came in third. Sky placed. You know, Matt, how did you do? How did you do that?
Well, I might have been dead fucking last.
So, hey, I love the competition, and I'm sure Matt's going to start beating me on a regular basis because I'm not a DFSer, but I will take my week one victory over Matt. And Victoria B was also in the competition. I believe she placed in fifth. We're all digging her writing as well.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yes. All right. So then other than that tournament, obviously, which you guys should join, play Truss, play me, play Victoria B. Hopefully she's back. Let's try to get those numbers up. Yeah. Other than that one, they have a $100,000 walk-off. It's a July 7th, $55 entry. First place takes 10 grand, 523rd place and up gets $90. So that's their big tournament, getting that, win a lot of money. And I could personally vouch that I love the lineup flexibility they have. I love that I don't have to, you know, research every underrated second, third, shortstop, every dollar value. You can get guys, just pick infielders, just pick outfielders. So you could stock Freeman, Votto, and Goldschmidt in your infield. Your outfield doesn't have to be left field, center field, right field. You could take any guys. I'm really digging it as a beginner, truthfully, and it's making for a lot of fun. And I feel good. I won last week. This week I came in third. The tournament plays no matter what. It's a $90 payout no matter what. So I highly advise everybody to come in and play. And I think it's going to be a good time. And I like that we got some Razzball competition going. I think that's going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. We'll keep building that up. That'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. So any last words on the robots? What are we thinking down the line? Gray, what are you thinking? Are you... You're now saying they should ask the robots for advice.
Yeah, I would personally, next year I'm going to have a driverless Uber drive me to my fantasy draft, and then I'm just going to have the car come in with me and draft for me.
And then they can write your daily write-up, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Although I think Ralph already said he's coming for you.
2 for 4, that is me quoting me.
You know what? Knowing Rudy, the bot will be programmed to use your jokes as well.
That is sagging off all day, baby.
All right, Matt. So any last questions for Matt Gray?
No.
Hey, do you want to touch on this big Bryce Harper trade at all?
No, I've cooled off a bit on that. I didn't like the Bryce. He made a trade. You want to tell everyone what your trade was before
I talk about
the
trade.
Yeah, sure. So it was, I traded Mike Mayer, Miguel Sano, Ryan Braun, Dallas Keuchel, and Travis Shaw for Bryce Harper and Carlos Santana.
What do you think, I'd prefer Bryce Harper.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no shit.
I respect Mike Mayer's game in writing. I read him, so, but yeah, like, give me Harper.
No, I mean, you know, it's like, I was really annoyed at this trade at first, but then Mike Mayer, he put out a Twitter poll, and more people wanted his side that he was getting. They wanted the side with Travis Shaw and, you know, that other crap. No, I'm playing. Not crap. I mean, I like Cooper.
Is Travis Shaw droppable? Is Travis, like, would the bot drop Travis Shaw in an RCL?
Absolutely. I dropped Travis Shaw.
So that was like worthless.
Yeah, but no, but Keuchel is, you know, Keuchel is a solid one. It looks like Braun, as long as he's healthy. I mean, Braun's obviously a top 25 hitter, but yeah, I mean, you kind of want the best guy in a trade, like 99% of the time. So I would have wanted Bryce Harper. I was a little annoyed at the trade because, you know, Mike at the time was in last place and Truss was not in last place. So, you know, it's like you're training with the last place team and it's like you're taking advantage a little bit. But, you know, after he put up the Twitter poll and more people wanted the side he got, I mean, I can't, you know, I'm not going to fight with democracy. Fuck it. If more people think that, you know, if more people think the Braun side is better, then, yeah, maybe my gauge is a little off on that trade. I did have Rudy run the numbers and the Bryce Harper side was, I think, $58 for rest of the season, and the Ryan Braun side was $48. So technically, the Bryce Harper side is more valuable, but if you're on a team where you need to plug like five holes, I can't argue with that. You need a lot of pieces, so you're taking your best player and you're trading them for a bunch of solid pieces. I mean, it's not like he got bad guys. It's
it wasn't a chump dump.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't. I mean, in any time, I feel like even if the trade was dead even and you were to take like, if you were to take two players that are worth $6 each and trade them for six players that are worth $2 each, you still want the two players that are worth $6 each, like 99% of the time. You don't want more players just at a less value. But, you know, I mean, you gotta play your own game. You gotta do your own. You gotta work your own team. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. I can see it, and the fact that so many people were more pro his side of the trade. I mean, you know,
well,
whatever.
It's funny when he posted it, when we talked about it in the comments. You know, everybody was on the Harper bandwagon, and then but the Twitterverse goes the complete opposite way. So I don't know if it's a Razzball mentality or what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I know. I don't know either. I mean, you know, like the people he was, you know, he's shooting it out to his followers on Twitter. So maybe they have a little bit of bias. But on the other hand, maybe people in the Razzball comments have bias. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. Now, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination, it's a slam dunk. Definitely. This is like, oh, my God, you know, it, like he got killed on this trade. I don't think it's like that far gone, but I would have preferred the Harper side. So, you know, it is what it is.
There you go.
True. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. That was cool. I guess hopefully you can come on and keep updating us on the RCLs and how the robots are doing.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Anytime. I had a blast. This is good stuff.
Yeah, it's good talking to you. Goodbye, Truss.
All right, so find Matt's writing. Keep up with his RCL updates. I'm sure he's going to be talking about the robots and their updates. Make sure to read that. And, yeah, make sure to, I guess, what do you do on the DFS side? You just manage? You're not writing for it?
Yeah, I'm doing some editing, filling in every now and then if, you know, if need be, if a writer needs a day or something. I'll
awesome.
Pop.
All right, so Matt's behind the scenes there as well. All right, yeah, thanks, Matt. Awesome.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Done with our robot segment. We're gonna close out the show with a few more buy low options. First guy, Jonathan Villar, got a homer on Sunday. He's had four straight good games. Overall season numbers, though, you know, 222, 287, 359, five homers and eight steals. So that's there. Are you buying low on him, or are you thinking that last year was the anomaly?
Well, I think last year might have been the anomaly
career year,
totally. Not necessarily such a far outlier that you're like, oh my God, we're like looking back on it. I don't think it's going to be that obscene. I think he's still going to get 30 plus steals and have 10 plus homers. You know, as a through 38 games, as of right now, he has five homers and eight steals. I think the steals are probably a bit low for him. He's still got speed as long as he's not hiding an injury. So I'd say, you know, 10 homers, 35 steals. I don't think we're going to see anywhere near the 20 homer, 60 steal season that we saw in 2016. I think, you know, that's definitely going to be the career year. His Ks are up. His walks are down. He's definitely struggling. His line drives are down. His ground balls are up, which that necessarily isn't a terrible thing for him because he has speed. But yeah, he's making crappy contact. He's not hitting. He's not seeing the ball well. He's pulling everything. His opposite field rate went last year is at 26%, and this year he's only hitting the ball the opposite way 17% of the time. So there's definitely a lot of, you know, he's getting out in front. He's probably, if I had to guess, he's probably not recognizing off speed as well, and he's pulling it all into the ground on the left side of the infield. So I would buy him low for the most part, but I wouldn't go necessarily that crazy because I think he is more or less. Speed. So, I mean, if I'm buying low on speed, I'd probably buy low on D Gordon because he's probably even cheaper right now than Villar. But I would look at Villar. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, buy low in every circumstance, but I'd look at it. I think he's probably closer to a 245 hitter versus the 285 last year. And he's probably, you know, like I said, maybe 12 homers and 35 steals. So, yeah, that's down. That's down a bit from last year, but still ownable and usable.
Would you would you rather target Valor or Odor in a buy low trade?
I'd go Odor. I think he's got more power. He's got he's got a further way to come on his BABIT. Odor has shown himself to be a little bit more unlucky, so he can come out of his slump, I think, in a bigger way than Vayar. And Vayar's K's are up. Odor's K's are down. Vayar's walks are down, and Odor's walks are up. So if I had Odor, I would say has a better chance of coming out of his slump than Vayar.
All right, going Odor. Let's move on to Bregman. I'm interested in your thoughts on Bregman because he set the league on fire last year, and now the power is kind of gone. He did hit a grand slam on Sunday during a Jeter retirement day where he was popping his number two jersey. He's a huge Jeter fan, apparently.
Really?
Other than that,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a big Jeter fan. Do you think the power is going to come on like we saw last year, also in the minors? Because before his big power surge in the minors last year, he was definitely always known as a light-hitting type of guy. Hit tool first, not a huge power guy. So that power came out of nowhere. He did put on 20 pounds of muscle. Everyone's like, it's real, it's real, it's real. But this year, the contact's not as hard. So again, buying low on him or just not, or just staying away?
Yeah. No, I would probably stay away. I was pretty low on Bregman coming into the year. I thought Bregman was I think I ranked him like in a preseason around 150 overall because I never really saw the power to begin with. I didn't understand like his minor league numbers. They just don't scream power by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, he looks like a 15 to 20 homer guy, which I mean, that's not terrible, but that's not really like I saw him getting drafted in like the top 60 overall. I mean, I think Bregman, like Bregman or Benintendi blows him away, I think. What do you think?
Well, right now I'm definitely taking Benintendi, but last year in the minors, Bregman's power numbers did spike huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, I said I was going to take 20 plus homers on Benintendi. I don't think Bregman – I'm not going to take 20-plus homers on Bregman this year. But down the line, I still think he has 20-plus power. This year, I think he could hit like 15 to 20 the rest of the way, not end up with 20. I'm still not giving up on Bregman's power because you see the K percentage is down. You know, he's still walking. The plate approach is still solid. I was watching him. You know, he's playing the Yanks, like I said, this weekend. It doesn't seem like – he's not taking huge hacks, so I don't think he's going for the power. I think he could hit more power – if he wants. I think maybe it's an adjustment to Major League Baseball still. I don't know. I'm still on him. I don't know if I would buy low thinking he's going to be like, you know, a top five round pick or something like that. But yeah, I might buy him in a redraft if his owner is really down on him. I mean, do you think he's getting dropped anywhere?
No, I don't think he's – I don't think we're at that point yet. I think he may – maybe he should be dropped in some shallower leagues, but I doubt anyone's dropping him. And I'm not necessarily saying drop him either because, I mean, he is a top prospect guy. He has some upside. I would try and ride it out. I just don't know if it's necessarily going to get better. Like his rest of the season stats right now look terrible. Yeah. I mean, they look awful. I mean, we're talking about Yunel Escobar if Yunel didn't hit for such a good average. I mean, that's rest of the season. Like Steamer has him at rest of the season has him at 12 homers, 7 steals, and a 260 average. That's awful.
That's not good with only a month and a half.
Are you taking him or Freddie Galvez right now? And Freddie Galvez probably has better rest of the season stats. Like, that's really bad.
I'm willing to buy higher than that. I still believe in him. I still believe in the power a little more than I guess other people do. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's got to definitely – whatever he did the first 6 weeks, he's got to move away from because right now it's harder. His ground balls are like ridiculous right now. I mean, yeah. He's doing like, you know, he says he, he's popping the two for Jeter. I mean, right now he's doing ground balls like Jeter, but unfortunately he's not doing line drives like him. I mean, his ground balls are over 40%. You can't. I mean, unless there's like some sort of weird like gravity pull in.
Elon Musk action.
Unless Elon Musk comes along and turns ground balls into home runs. I mean, there's no way Bregman's going to hit.
40% is not horrible, though. Over 40 is not horrible. Like 50 is bad. 50 is horrible. 40, yeah, 50, you're right, though. It's not like, power hitting.
Yeah, 50 is Jeets.
Yeah, exactly. That's for
Pasta diving Jeter over there is he's like, he was like, what, 45-50% when he was doing it?
I'm not sure where Jeter was at. That's interesting. I haven't looked up Jeter's ground ball rates.
Oh, they were terrible. I mean, not terrible.
Not for power.
Jeter
did have 1 year where he dropped like 24 homers after an arbitration hearing where the Yanks ripped on his power. He's like, all right, and he just went out and hit 24. That was also the year there was steroid allegations around him, but I don't buy that. I'm a Jeter lover, apologist. You'll never hear me rip Jeter. Yeah. Other than that speech he gave where he's like, I very humbly will say, I will never, I wouldn't change places with him. I just thought that was funny. I don't know.
Was he trying to riff on the Lou Gehrig, I'm the luckiest man alive speech?
It wasn't the Gehrig one. It was on – he was using another platitude. I forgot the expression, but he was just saying, if I could change places with anyone, I wouldn't. He's like, I'm the man. He was basically like, I'm the man. I wouldn't give up my career for anyone. But he said it right after he said it, he humbly was saying – it was just – I don't know.
And then during Alex Rodriguez's speech to himself in his mirror, he was like, if I could change places with anyone, it would be Jeter.
Exactly. That's basically – I'm sure he had A-Rod on his mind. They got the problem.
I'd like to thank A-Rod's Frosted Tips. Thank you for leading the way as to what not to do with my hair.
Oh, shit. And also for your horrible personality for making me look like the man. Thank you, everybody.
I want to thank you for saying you are a centaur, because that makes it so much easier for me to be likable.
And kissing yourself in the mirror. You made me look like a humble.
I know. You've made me seem humble and likable while I was dating the hottest chicks in the world.
Oh, on rotation. Giving out gift baskets.
On rotation, right, exactly. I had Jessica Biel and Minka Kelly on a Lazy Susan.
Mariah Carey,
just like rotating on a Lazy Susan, and somehow A-Rod made me look better.
Matt Harvey follows in my footsteps.
That's all Matt Harvey needs. He needs A-Rod.
Yeah, he does. He needs A-Rod. All right, guys. This was, you know, tons of robot talk. We got you some fantasy baseball as well. A few buy lows there, a few hot starts. So this was the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I'm Michael Halpern for Gray Albright. Had another awesome time. Thanks, Gray. Later. Talk to you next week.
All right, later.